Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Jeeves, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Voice of Indie podcast. This is episode number 102. Woohoo. I'm your host, Dean Wicks, and with me is Mr. Stephen Jeeves. How are you doing tonight, Stephen?
Oh, just looking forward to tonight's full moon. Ow!
Ow! That's right. It's one of those giant moons tonight.
Yeah. And, I face east here, and the moon rises in the east. So when the moon rises across this lake, I've got 2 miles of water right in front of me. And it just lights up the whole lake. And, of course, there's a little bit of riffle on the surface, and it sparkles. It's really cool. But oh. I've been going out every night and watching my frogs eat. I know, that's kind of weird. But, I mean, I just sit out there on the on the box and just hang out for a little while and just watch the frogs. It's actually kind of zen. But, you know, I had three regular – I got four, actually, that work other parts of the deck. But the three that work the area right around the window here where I go out and sit and look at them every night – they were out there working every night. So I got to where I was turning the light on so that they could work the light and get the bugs. And we had 2 weeks of no rain, and they were working that every night. And then it rained like crazy. And when it rains, frogs breed quickly because they want to get those eggs in the water and stuff like that. And my two bigger frogs disappeared. So I figured they headed to the lake, which is like 75 feet away, to go hook up and, you know, make some frog eggs, as it were. And the younger one, the adolescent one, didn't leave. He hung around and basically worked the light by himself. Well, the two frogs didn't come back. It's like, you know, 6 days, 7 days, and it's like they never came back. And it's like, man, I hope something didn't get them on the way back, or maybe frogs don't keep track of where they live. They just go to the next place. But these frogs know where they live. These frogs know where the light is. They know when I'm coming out. And they actually are so used to me now, I can pick them up. They don't run from me. I can pick them up and put them up on the window where a bug is so they can eat them. But last night, after 8 days of sitting out there watching my one frog eat, the other two came back, both of them. So cool. I got all three frogs back now. And I sat there last night and got to watch all three frogs work the light. And I just hit the tweet button to show you a picture of my three frogs working the light.
Cool. All right.
Now, you see the one in the middle's got a scar on his back. That one's Scarback, but we don't name the others.
You put that on Twitter? Oh, there it is. Yeah,
there it is. That's my frogs working the light, little tree frogs.
Sweet. Get on over to Twitter, everybody, and take a look at those frogs.
It's the Twitter highlight of the year.
Yeah, nature. That's cool. My brush with nature yesterday, I had to take a tree out of the front yard and hated to do it, but it was being consumed by this black fungus that you can't get rid of. And it attacks these specific trees, and it was basically strangling the tree, so I had to cut it out. And I thought, well, it's kind of a smallish tree, so I'll just get the handsaw out there. And boy, 2 hours into that, it's like, I'm going to go up and rent a chainsaw. I had to go get a chainsaw. My uncle and I took it apart in no time, you know, once we got the chainsaw. But, so now I got this open view in my front yard. Kind of okay, but I don't know. I was used to that tree. It was a nice little tree. So anyway, enough with the nature talk. Listeners, if you would like to participate in tonight's show, we have a wonderful guest. You can call in, or you can do so on Twitter as well using the hashtag Fresh Ink Group. But here's how you can do all that.
Call 516-453-9902 right now with your questions or comments for tonight's guest. Or post a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body of the tweet, and we'll read it on air. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter.
Yeah. And there's Marlena Smith Burris has already joined us on Twitter with the hashtag Fresh Ink Group. She said, join the fellows of Fresh Ink Group on the Voice of Indie podcast with guest author Janelle A. Jordan. So welcome aboard, Marlene. I'm glad to have you, as always, in the audience.
So the good news is my frogs came back. And they are my frogs. I know them from their markings and the little scar on his back, on one of them's back and stuff like that. And I also, they have certain places they sleep. And when they go back to those places, you know it's them.
And they say hi when they show back up.
Yeah, sure.
They say hi, Bill.
Hey, that was that's the good news. The bad news is we mentioned a few weeks ago, about a month ago, I think, that Ingram, the biggest distributor in the United States and like the top three in the world, was requiring the wholesale discount that used to be a minimum of 20% for years and then went to 25% some years ago is now 30% for new books. They announced that about a month ago. What they announced this week is it's going to be 30% for already existing published books as well. So
wow.
We have been putting a lot of time and energy this week into having Lauren go into the databases and change hundreds of book listings in order to change those prices. At this point, we're not planning on increasing the cover price of any of those books. It's just going to cut, you know, a few cents here and there into royalties and stuff. Any of our authors who want to increase the cover price, talk to us. But, you know, that's a bit of a job because then we got to swap out the barcodes, do new covers and stuff like that and republish, actually take the book out of print and then republish it as opposed to just doing a database price change. So that's what's happening now. Even existing books are going to have to go to a minimum of 30%. And if you've been publishing at 20 or 25% like we had been for years, that's going to be a little bit of work and it is going to cut a little bit into the royalties. We are taking this into consideration when Lauren recommends book pricing for all new projects, and we're trying to anticipate that this kind of stuff's going to happen over the years to come. But right now, 30%, take it or leave it.
Yeah, well, some things just can't be helped. Tonight's guest, Janelle A. Jordan, her book, Still Not Enough, Minority Millennials in the Workplace, is now available in pre-sale. So get
that's
over
workforce.
To
that's workforce.
What did I say?
Workplace.
Oh, workforce. Oh, yeah. All right. But get over there to Amazon and pre-order your copy. That's always good for the bump in the sales. So and it sets a nice, you know, bar for listings. So get over there and grab a copy if you want to know about other books that are in pre-sale or that are getting ready to be in pre-sale or that are available now and all kinds of other cool stuff, all things indie publishing, subscribe to our newsletter. And here's how you can do that.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter, new releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
What?
Huh? What?
It's an official show now.
So, this week's bestsellers in print for Fresh Ink Group. We have a couple of repeats in the number one and number three slots. The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip by Country Music Hall of Fame drummer Mark Herndon, who played almost three decades with the supergroup Alabama. His memoir, which is very interesting, is in the number one slot for the hardcover, number three slot for the soft covers. In the number two slot, for the third week in a row, Robert G. Willis-Croft's Operation Ivy Bells, A Mac McDowell Mission. Now, that's the first book in the Mac McDowell Mission series. Three books are already out. The fourth book, Operation Whiteout, is in progress and should be out probably at the end of the summer, we're thinking. So Operation Ivy Bells, the first book in the series, is garnering a lot of new attention these past few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth, again, Maximizing Happiness Through Intimate Communication, third edition, by Dr. Marshall L. Shearer, MD, and Dr. Marguerite R. Shearer. I got to get my initials straight. He's Marshall L. She's Marguerite R. They're the Shearers, a pair of medical doctors. He passed away some years ago, unfortunately, but they were experts in everything from sex to relationships, and they put out four or five books. This one, Maximizing Happiness Through Intimate Communication, is a relationship advice helping couples solve their problems and learn to have a more successful relationship. It's in our number four slot. And then number five, J. Ash Looney is back in here with Figuratively Speaking, Thesaurus of Expressions and Phrases, which was the first or second book of his that we published. And we're up to like about 12 of his now. So that one's been out there, I think, 5 years, something like that.
Yeah, and it's, and that's a cool book.
Made our best-selling list this week. So keep that in mind, indie authors. We're playing the long game here. You know, you go to Simon & Schuster, and they're going to print however many copies they're going to print. They're going to run a little publicity campaign if you're lucky and you're willing to spend a little bit of money on your book. And they're going to put that thing out there, and they're going to see how many they can sell in a week or two, and then they're going to forget about you. We never forget. We're out there slogging them for years and years to come.
Indeed. Arriving next week, Patricia A. Guthrie's Water Lilies Over My Grave. You can go check out the brand spanking new video for that over on Fresh Ink Group on YouTube. So get over there and check that out. And I finally have all of the audio files for Ellie Collins's Mad Max and Sweet Sarah audiobook, so I will be able to finish putting that together. Look for that coming out in the weeks ahead. And also Girl Wears Those Shoes by Jenny Wong. That should be done. Well, that's one of those books where I'm still waiting on some of the files, but I have most of them, so hopefully that'll be in within the next couple of weeks or so as well. You know, just keep your ears and eyes open for that, and get that newsletter so you'll know exactly what's going on.
I never close my ears.
If you, well, some people do.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah, they hear what they want. If you miss an episode.
Wait, before you go there, you just mentioned the Fresh Ink Group channel over on YouTube. Uh-huh. When I went and looked today, we picked up a new subscriber.
All right.
I mean, digest that for a minute. Picked up a new subscriber. I jumped up and danced a little jig. Hurt. Jumped up too fast and hurt my back, but it was worth it.
Now, I just mentioned Patricia A. Guthrie's Water Lilies Over My Grave coming out. She's been on the program before a couple of times, I believe. And Jenny Wong, her audiobook, and Ellie Collins. All these authors have been on this program. And if you missed those episodes, they are in our archives, as are all 102 episodes we have done are in this archive. And if you want to go back and check out your favorite that you heard before, or some of your favorite authors that you might not have known were on the show, here's how you can find the archive.
If you miss a show, find us in the archive in the Fresh Ink Group channel on YouTube, on Spotify, or under the podcast tab at freshinkgroup.com. beamweeks.com, and stephengees.com. On YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe.
Hey.
All right.
So, Beam, why don't you knock out our first commercial before we introduce our guest?
Okay, we can do that.
Do you feel lost or broken? Are you trapped by fear, loneliness, and heartache, but unable to see a way out? Are you unhappy in your relationships and without a solution to make things right? I'm Vladimir Kalixi, a therapist in New York City who helps others all around the world to live and love from a place of emotional freedom. If you're searching for answers to all your struggles, my book, Naked and Transparent, 6 Vital Tools for Knowing Yourself and Attracting Healthy Relationships, can help you reclaim your life and attract more love, success, peace, and joy than you've ever imagined. Filled with personal experiences about love, loss, abandonment, Naked goes beyond a traditional self-help book. Part workbook and part memoir, Naked is an enjoyable yet informative must-read for women, men, and teens who suffer from low self-esteem, feelings of unworthiness, anxiety, shame, guilt, failure, and toxic relationships. It is a refreshing, honest, and stimulating experience that will help you open your heart and soul and discover a brand new you. Naked and Transparent is available in hardcover, softcover, and all ebook editions from Kindle to Nook and Kobo and more. You too can grow personally, spiritually, emotionally, and professionally to redefine who you are from the inside out. Naked and Transparent, 6 Vital Tools for knowing yourself and attracting healthy relationships is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group.
You know, Vladimir Kolesky is very popular as a public speaker. She does motivational, inspirational kind of speaking too, and helping people set goals for positive relationships. And she's booked out as much as a year in advance. It's hard to get her in New York City. So she's very, very popular. And we're proud of her in this book. This book's doing very well. Over on Twitter, Joe Conjol mentioned, "Hey, hello everybody. I can't stay tonight. My grandkids are here monopolizing my time." Laugh out loud. "I will catch it on the replay. Have a great show." Thanks, Joe. It's good that we got those replays out there. And then you want to read Verwaine's note?
Sure thing. Verwaine Greenhoe, he says, "The first thing I do on Wednesday mornings is to check out my FIG newsletter." So that's a plug for the old newsletter. Thank you, Verwaine. And he does. Because there's been a couple of mornings where it wasn't sent out at the usual time. There was some last minute things, and he'll shoot me an email. "Hey, did I miss the newsletter? What's going on?" So I get over there and hit that send button once it's all tight and ready to go. But Verwaine isn't kidding. He's always right there waiting for that newsletter on Wednesday mornings, and you can too. Just get over to FreshInkGroup.com and scroll to the bottom of the homepage and sign up for the newsletter.
Now the frogs have four likes and a retweet so far, so they're going to be wanting to get an agent soon.
All right. Now, Janelle Jordan graduated magna cum laude with a BS in electrical engineering from North Carolina A&T State University. She later earned her MBA in general management from Troy University and her doctor of business administration and leadership from Liberty University. She boasts more than 15 years in corporate manufacturing environment, working in various locations and capacities with entrepreneurial experience. Most of her career has been in management, where she has mentored and developed talent within organizational structures. A member of the Delta Sigma Theta sorority, she also served as a high school varsity girls assistant basketball coach and mentored several young ladies in their personal and professional endeavors. And with that, and all of these amazing accomplishments, welcome to the show, Janelle Jordan.
Hi, Janelle.
Hi, thank you so much, Beam and Stephen, for having me.
Yeah.
So how about you, anything in here that you want to add to, fill in any gaps? I mean, you got quite a collection of degrees there.
I just tried to keep my portfolio both personal and professional, diversified as much as possible, expound on who I am as a person, and allow those experiences to build and set my foundation. So that kind of explains the educational background and just making myself a better person.
Cool. Now, you came to us as a referral from another one of our authors, Abigail Hugh Guinea. And she's the author of There Must Be Something in the Water, which is an excellent book looking at the people who grew up in Green Pond, South Carolina, and how they went on to do some quite a few great things. How do you know Abigail? How does that come about?
Actually, Ms. Eugenie is my best friend's mother, but also was the assistant principal at Orangeburg Wilkinson High School when I attended. We've known the Eugenie family for years. Their family and my family attended William Chapel AME Church in Orangeburg, South Carolina. So we have some ties there, and congratulations to her on her recent book, There Must Be Something in the Water, excellent novel, and it speaks to rural communities and the fact that there are cultural challenges and economic challenges that reside. However, there's something in the water that gives those people the momentum to propel and exceed the expectations that set before them.
Hmm. Now, the Huguenies had lived in Huntsville for a while there. Andrew Huguenie, her husband, president of Alabama A&M University, you know, when you can't get a job at Chick-fil-A, you might as well be president of a university, huh?
right.
although from what I hear, Chick-fil-A is probably paying better right now because they're desperate for people. But at any rate, and they've just moved out of state to be closer to their grandkids. But obviously, you know, they're from South Carolina. You're from the Bronx, but wound up in the Carolinas. Why don't you tell us your arc? Where exactly were you born? Where'd you grow up? Where all of you lived? How'd you wind up where you are?
All right. So my mother, born and raised in the Bronx, currently resides in Columbia, South Carolina. My father actually born in Orangeburg, South Carolina. So when he turned 18, graduated high school, he was ready to go. So he headed to New York. He and my mother met there and raised three girls. The challenges of course, living in the city presented itself in raising three young girls. So the decision was made to bring it back down south. So we all relocated. Probably maybe I was around age 2-3 years old. And we lived in Orangeburg pretty much for my upbringing. We would go back to the Bronx to visit, but my grandmother, who still stayed there, and my grandfather as well. But primarily I'm a Southern girl, just bred. So that's where my roots are. As far as living situations, I lived in Greensboro, North Carolina, as I attended North Carolina A&T, so Aggie pride, so all my Aggies out there. And then after school, I actually had an internship opportunity in Seattle, outside of Seattle in DuPont, Washington. So stayed in Washington State. That was a pretty exciting experience for me, especially kind of being primarily located in the South. I've had the opportunity to live in Loveland, Ohio, outside of Cincinnati. Made my way to Franklin, Virginia, and eventually relocated back to the Carolinas and currently reside in Columbia.
Wow.
It's quite a traveling arc there. What kind of childhood did you have? Were you into reading and writing, hobbies and things like that? What did you do as a child? I mean, when did you start with the writing and this whole process?
Crazy enough, reading and writing probably wasn't my strong suit or my preference as a child. Of course, we had to read books as a part of summer reading, but my interest lied in video games, outdoor sports and activities, electronics. So that kind of developed my knack in delving into the engineering field. But as a child, I mean, we played kickball, freeze tag, hide and go seek, you name it, we did it. Hot summers playing basketball and riding bikes up and down the street with my family. So pretty much that's my childhood and upbringing. As I grew older, I started recognizing the need to journal or write down stuff in maybe a composition notebook. And I will tell you, one of the best critics and critiques that I've received was actually from Dr. Hugh Guinney on some work I had done previously. And that influenced on how I needed to approach my writing style professionally. So that kind of altered and changed some things. But if I'm doing something informal and trying to process some thoughts, I'll just grab my phone if it's the quickest thing I have, as opposed to a notebook or a piece of paper, and jot a lot of stuff down there. So it's a process of thought. So that's kind of how it evolved my desire to write.
Hmm.
Yeah, the journal, writing in the journal, that's a common thing for a lot of writers. I know that in my junior high and high school, I wrote a lot in a journal as well. And we've had many guests on here that's how they kind of got started, was writing in a journal, and it just builds from there.
And I've never done that.
You've never done that?
Never done that. No, I'm more of the type to sit out there and watch the frogs eat. So you want to run another commercial, Beam?
Sure thing.
And this is a person who's a friend of the Hugh Guineas, Barbara Johnson.
Hi, I'm Mary Margaret Stanton. My grandmother, Big Mama, calls me Zachy. I've been a member of the African Methodist Episcopal Church all my life. I never knew why everyone was so proud to be AME. Then I meet Gerald in Children's Church. He thinks he knows everything about being AME. I have to learn a lot more just to show him. B.A. Johnson has written a book about me, my brother, and my friends with lots of colorful drawings. We also explore bullying, friendship, inclusion, death, grief, forgiveness, and more. Sassy discovers that AME Church is published by Fresh Ink Group in hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. Available worldwide. Come on, join me in discover why I can say I'm proud to be AME.
And we are working on the second book in that series right now, Sassy as a History Detective, where she learns some new things as well. We've got the artwork coming in, and some of the illustrations are done. The text is about ready to go. So hopefully we're looking to have that second book out in about 2 months from now.
Right. Now, listeners, you can call in if you have a question or a comment, 516-453-9902. 516-453-9902. Don't be shy. Or you can go to Twitter, hashtag Fresh Ink Group, and we'll see your question or comment. Now, Janelle, we've already pretty much touched on your educational background. What was that motivation that had you going for all of these different degrees? I mean, and when did you get, let me back up, when did you get this motivation? You said you weren't much into the reading and writing when you were a child. When did this start to take shape to where you saw opportunities in getting these degrees? So why not go for them?
I will say, I know I mentioned that reading and writing weren't my preferences. However, that did not negate the need that we had to bring home good grades. I was a student athlete, and the biggest part of that is student. My parents did not allow subpar performance.
They had an opinion about that, huh?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. you know, that was the avenue for us to do a lot of things. So I would say academically, it was always a push to propel myself and actually perform and obtain what I could. So the push for degrees is intrinsic motivation. I don't settle. I'm always looking for what's next. What's the next thing that I can do to develop myself and pour into myself? And I will say some of that did come from some professional challenges as well. Just because opportunities seem to be limited, and you would get the perception sometimes as you evolve in your professional career that a degree is required to do certain things. And as I am further along in my career, I learned that is not necessarily so. You need those avenues and doors to be opened in order to do that. But you gain those experiences along the way. And I'm probably not the one to really say that, since I do have these degrees to keep pushing to do more. But, you know, I always say that a degree says that you're able to do the theoretical aspects of a degree or a discipline, but it's the practical experience that you can't trade in for anything. So, again, that's just my personal desire and challenge for myself. It's always me versus me when I set a goal or endeavor for myself. So that explains my my degrees.
So what are your next goals?
Yeah, so I was going to ask.
What direction are you going?
I'm just going to be honest. This book was a surprise next goal. And I won't say necessarily surprise, but it wasn't something that I would have said a year ago was going to be on my radar per se. It was something that kind of popped up because I said in March of 21 after I was wrapping up my dissertation defense that I was done with school. I wasn't going to do anything. I was just going to breathe and relax for a little bit. But here we are.
All right.
If you could go back to school and get another degree, what's one that would be like on your wish list? Like it didn't really matter. You could afford it. You had the time. You just wanted to do it for yourself. Is there something else you'd like to get into?
Wow. If so, it would probably be on the human resources aspect, or I would say somewhere around psychology. I love conversations with people and behaviors, et cetera. So that would probably be a thought, but right now I'm just relaxing.
All right. So how about family? Family history. We learned a little bit about your parents and your grandparents. Are you married? Kids? What's your family situation like?
I am currently single. Everybody who knows me knows that I borrow my sister's kids and I give them back amongst other kids. So,
wow, what a system.
I know, right? It's perked in there. But, I'm huge on family.
This one's sick. He's coming home early.
There you go. No, I'm very heavily into my family, very family-oriented. So I have two older sisters, Angelica and Janice, my niece and nephews. I'll keep them in order of range. Amani, Jamari, Javon, Ariel. Oh, excuse me, I went out of order. Amaris and Ariel. So those are my nieces and nephews who I love dearly. Again, I treat them as if they're my own.
And they live close to you?
The ones, three of them reside in Orangeburg, so they're a little bit closer physically. But we do have two of them, the two younger nieces, Amaris and Ariel, that live in the Bronx with my older sister. However, FaceTime is an amazing thing, and
isn't
gotta
it?
See what we can sneak in opportunities to see one another. And I will say, I will respond and sound a little bit more family. I do have some cousins that are like brothers and sisters. So again, I'm big on family. I have friends that turn into family. I mentioned my best friend Akilah. She's a sister, not by blood, but she's definitely my sister. So I'm big. If you're in my circle, it's your family. It's all of.
Cool.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
So tell us about your day job, your work, how you spend most of your time when you're not writing and getting ready to market and publicize your new book.
Currently, I am a manufacturing engineering manager at Paul Corporation. So with that, I manage manufacturing engineers as well as a maintenance team. We're out there putting out new products in the medical industry for new devices. So it's still on the technical aspects of things, but a lot of it is project direction and people direction and development. So that's how I spend my working hours.
You've been doing that for a few years?
I recently actually started with this company, but I would say probably last 5+ years I was specifically doing that. I switched up for a little bit from manufacturing and, excuse me, I would say management in manufacturing and thought I wanted to go another route with retail and distribution. Not necessarily a fan, so manufacturing, it brought me back to it. If you walk into a plant or any industry, you can feel the heartbeat of something's right, wrong, indifferent. You can kind of feel the cadence and the rhythm of the facility. So it's something about manufacturing, producing a product and providing a service.
Always going to be doing it, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Beam, you want to run another commercial? This one would be by about Abigail Hugenny's book, There Must Be Something in the Water.
Yeah.
A small rural community in the Lowcountry along Ocean Highway, Green Pine, South Carolina, has long lacked cultural and educational opportunities for its young people's future success. Many have gone on to serve in the highest levels of education, government, public service, elected office, business, and medicine. With so much success against the odds, surely there must be something in the water. Abigail Hugenny chronicles the impact just 42 of Green Pond's children have gone on to make in the world. All full-color editions include photos from around town and local translations of down-home sayings. These inspirational stories prove that, regardless of one's background, we can all find our own path toward greatness. An excellent reference, keepsake, gift, and addition to every library. There Must Be Something in the Water, Anthology of the Fourth Generation, Descendants of Green Pond, After the Emancipation, is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group.
That book is performing very well all across the country and even in other countries as well. I expected it to be more of a regional book, have a lot more interest in, you know, South Carolina. Mostly, but like I say, it's selling everywhere, and libraries are picking it up too. They like it as a good inspirational book for young minorities. So
yeah.
That's a good book. It's something Abigail should be proud of. We're all proud to be a part of that project.
Yeah, that's an incredible accomplishment there. That whole book is just like Stephen said, it's a wonderful. Wonderful accomplishment. We do have a caller. You guys want to take a call?
Well, if you insist. What do you think, Janelle? Can we handle a call?
Sure thing. Go for it.
All right. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, caller. That's you.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hey,
what's your name and where
are
you calling
doing?
From?
This is Akilah calling from Roswell, Georgia.
Roswell,
well, welcome
Georgia.
To the show, Akilah.
Hi, Akilah.
Yeah, well, first I want to say congratulations, Janelle, again on your book. So proud of you and all your accomplishments. And I told her I was going to be calling, so she's probably nervous about what I'm going to ask.
Very, very.
She did mention something about that off the air.
Yeah, but I guess my question is, you know, with all the things that you've been through and, you know, going through your grad school and undergrad and, like, going through your various career options, you know, if you had to go back to young Janelle, let's say, like, freshman A&T Janelle, what kind of advice would you give her now?
Good question.
Oh, that's awesome, and it's deep because she knows freshman Janelle. My advice to a freshman Janelle is there are going to be bumps and hits in the road. It's how you respond to those bumps and hits. Keep fighting. Remain competitive, remain steadfast in whatever your goals and you set out for yourself. I would tell her, pick her head up, celebrate the wins. You know, don't always think, what if you fall? More so, what if you fly? So really just talking to myself of there's bigger. You can do more. You can believe more. And there's bigger out there for you.
I like that answer.
Yeah.
You there, Akilah?
Yep, I'm here. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, that's an awesome answer. And like I said, congratulations again, Janelle. Proud of you.
Yeah,
thank
you
so much, Akilah.
You got some more questions? Let's see if we can get her with a gotcha.
Oh, another question. Okay, let me see. Another question I have is, like, speaking about, like, advice. Like, so, you know, we have a lot of, you know, minorities, especially women that are coming in into, like, STEM fields who want to, like, you know, maybe have the same path that you have. Like, what advice would you give them?
This is another good one. We talk about this often. You know, we hear about the quote-unquote glass ceilings. My advice to them is they don't exist. Create your own lane. Be your own advocate. Be your own voice. Learn as much as you can in the industry or the field of your choice and challenge the status quo. I would say my experience in the manufacturing world is predominantly male, and I would say it would be predominantly white male. So as a black female, that presents a different dynamic, and we have to create a different norm of, you know, not and differentiating against being assertive versus aggressive. We have to change those dynamics and the mindset that traditionally existed. I think society is evolving. And there are some organizations that have actually taken the work necessary and have adapted the mindset of some of the traditional aspects and have evolved to opening the doors for women in those STEM fields. So for the younger generation, keep pushing, keep challenging, don't take no. If you want it, go get it. And I think that's the best advice. If something is unclear, and I don't want this to be perceived as, challenge everything that comes at you, because you need to be receptive to feedback as well, especially constructive feedback. But just find an advocate, find a support system. And it may not necessarily be a female. It may not be somebody who is your same ethnicity. I would say one of my dear mentors that I had the privilege of working with, and he retired, but we still talk pretty much a couple times a week. Mike DeWitt, awesome mentor and friend. He's a white male, and he's from the baby boomer generation, but he's one of the ones that gets it, and he supports, and he advocates. He's one from a professional aspect that I would say, you know, kind of balances me out and tells me to pick it up and keep going, or, you know, maybe we'll think about it this way. So find an advocate while you're navigating the field.
I like that advice. Yeah.
Yeah, excellent advice.
So, Keila, you know any secrets you can tell us about her? Anything that we can...
Keila has to go now.
No. If I tell the secrets, I might have to kill you guys. So we're not going to do that.
I thought I would try. One of these times it'll work.
All right.
We appreciate the call, Keila, and again, help us spread the word, because Janelle's got a fine book here and people need to start hearing about it.
Yeah,
definitely will. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
Thanks for calling. Keila. All right. So, Janelle, when you're not working, when you're not, you know, doing what you do to earn your money, and when you're not writing books, what do you like to do to relax? Any hobbies?
I don't know that I relax. Of course, from, you know, maybe binge-watching shows here and there. I'm actually here with my youngest nephew in Myrtle Beach this week, enjoying an AU Nationals tournament. So shout out to GCE. But I spend a lot of time with my family. Outside of that, I love sports. Need to get back into the thick of things. Tried to play a couple games of pickup basketball. Physically, my body aches, but my mind is telling me keep going. and then outside of that, I like DIY projects. So you do it yourself projects. Me and my sister coined ourselves as Bob Vila's kids.
Ooh.
So we like to try.
Bob Vila's kids.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, we try to get some things done ourselves. I ended up building a fire pit and kind of paper set it up for my backyard. Did some laminate floors and stairs in my home. So, and I painted my house probably within the last year. So stuff like that gives me a little peace of mind and thinking. So I guess that's relaxation, but it's definitely worked.
Oh, it's shifting gears. It's getting out of one mode and into another.
Yeah,
that's all it
exactly.
takes.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the kind, you know, where you close your eyes and you know, go to sleep. But
I need to work on that.
there's a lot to be said for all the other activities as well. Now, you mentioned binge-washing. What do you binge-watch? Yeah.
I was going to ask that question, too.
Yeah. Made me curious.
me and my family watched a couple shows on Starz, so... we'll watch the Power series. We watch a little bit of P-Valley here and there. Let's see. I watch Blackish. Any other show anybody recommends. I like humor. I like to watch a lot of old movies, preferably from the 90s era. So just whatever piques my interest. If you can get me in the first couple episodes, you got me. I think Breaking Bad is one of the best series that's out there.
In my opinion, Breaking Bad was the greatest series on TV ever. Just my opinion.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
My brother cousin Corey put me on to it, and he told me, he was like, hang on after the first couple episodes, because it didn't get me at first, but I couldn't stop watching. So.
Well, I'm caught up now on the spinoff series, Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the last season to hit Netflix so I can watch those, but good show.
Yeah
I got to catch that one as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got all of Breaking Bad every season on DVD, just in case. Just in case I want to watch it that way.
So
that's a good one to have.
We want to talk about your writing, but we're going to run another commercial here first. This is your book, Still Not Enough. It's the new commercial that just landed on YouTube yesterday. Listeners, get over there to the Fresh Ink Group channel on YouTube and look for Still Not Enough. Make sure you share it. Make sure you like it. Watch it a bunch of times. Get them to dance if it moves you.
All right.
Still Not Enough examines the plight of minority millennials in the workforce. Janelle A. Jordan details her own perspective-molding cultural upbringing, along with professional encounters hindered by others' preconceived notions and unconscious biases. She shares examples that are relatable to many with similar experiences. The scars from every denial fueled the desire for each minority millennial to do more. This book also guides leaders managing today's DE&I employees. Norms are evolving, and organizations must adapt or be left behind. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group in all print and digital formats worldwide, Still Not Enough brings transparency to the challenges of today's younger and more inclusive workforce.
All right.
We had a lot of fun making that video. That's a lot of cool shots and images and effects and things like that in there. But it's a great book, and we hope that this commercial does it justice.
Yeah.
You all did an amazing job. Thanks for that.
Well, we appreciate that.
Yeah. We do have another caller, so how about we take this call?
Go for it.
All right. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. You are on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Craig, and I'm calling from Charlotte.
Hi,
hey,
Craig. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
You got
you
a question?
I'm doing good. My question is, what was your greatest pivot in your industry, and how did that turn into your why for what you're doing now?
I'm sorry, I missed you on one part. What was my greatest what?
You know, what was your biggest pivot, what you work in the industry that you work in, and how did that turn into your why for what you're doing now?
Wow. Man, y'all are getting some good questions here. So I would say my biggest pivot for me, I would say it was early on in my career, and I didn't recognize it when it was happening. I had an employer, and they wanted to go recruit at North Carolina A&T, and it was mentioned to me, hey, we want to get more people like you. And you know, sometimes we get caught up in the mindset, well, hey, I don't want to be the token here, and don't use me to recruit. And it was positioned to me completely different from that perspective. So this is why, you know, we talk about unconscious bias and preconceived notions, because that's how I took it. But from somebody else's aspect, it came as me pulling others who looked like me along, and that my talents were being recognized and wanted to be, you know, replicated through others in the field and the industry. So that turned my perspective around completely and made it my why to bring other minorities along. And again, I say that not to limit the use of the word minority. It has vast meaning. And that's not just, you know, gender or ethnicity. So that really positioned me for my why.
Okay. That's dope.
Man, y'all got me thinking tonight. Yeah.
Do you consider this to be your greatest accomplishment so far in your life? Is actually publishing your own books?
It's a huge one. I don't know if I could say my greatest. Hopefully, grace of God, I got more life to live. It's definitely one I'm super proud of, and glad to make it to this moment. I don't feel like this is it, so hopefully, you know, I got some other ideas going. Like I said, my gears don't necessarily turn off in my mind, so I have some other thoughts of, you know, what could potentially come behind this. So I don't know if I want to limit it and say it's the greatest, but it's definitely a huge one. It's up there.
Okay. What I don't mean that this is the greatest thing you are going to accomplish, but do you feel like this is your, as of right now, is this like a huge achievement for you? That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely, for sure. I'm embracing it. Kind of feeling like it's different. Not sure really what to expect with this ride. There's a little bit of excitement, some anxiety, some nervousness.
Okay.
You know, I'm living in the moment, but it's definitely huge.
Okay. Well, congratulations. And
thank
I
you so much,
Craig. So I'm looking for great.
Ooh,
training.
I love it.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right.
All Thanks right. for well, calling in, Craig.
Thanks for calling, Craig.
All right.
We have another caller. Want to take this call?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
They're just lining up. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. You are on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Danielle, and I am calling from Charlotte.
Welcome
Hi,
to the show, Danielle.
I have a question.
Hi, Danielle.
Hi. I'm so excited. So I have a question for Janelle. Why do you feel like this story needs to be told? I do come from an engineering background, and I am a Black woman, but I'm just curious as to why you feel like this story needs to be told.
I feel like it needs to be told, as, you know, I feel like we always hear these conversations behind the scenes, and there's a couple books buried here and there of some of the struggles and the triumphs and, you know, the trailblazers of women in manufacturing, and you hear these folk stories, but it's not out there in print. I feel like the story needs to be told because there's another side of the struggles that, you know, we endure as women in the STEM industry, and specifically I'm speaking around the manufacturing ranks, but beyond that, we need to break that stigma and cycle, and it's another partner on the other end that may not look like us. They have a different perspective. They have, you know, different innate inclinations and upbringings and cultural experience that differ from our own. So I think this story needs to be told to try to help bridge that connection and explain kind of my background. And I'm one of many. This is not an isolated story. I'm just putting it into words and explaining it. But it was super important to put this into words, into print for me, as this is a silent battle that we talk about, and we might have it in associate resource groups or ARGs within companies, but it stays there. There's not a challenge. There's not a growth. There's not another side of the coin explained or examined. So they need to go and expand beyond the company walls or the internal aspects of organizations and evolve beyond. So that's why I felt like it was important to get this story out.
Well, who's the story for? Who's your target audience? Who would you like to see reading this book?
I would say the majority population. It's not necessarily minority millennials, and I would say, as I was talking to some friends and family, this isn't an isolated struggle. That's why I said I'm more than just one person. There is just put a different company out there or a different experience that may be slightly on par with what I'm talking about, but the storylines are very similar. So I would say the majority population. So I do encourage those of the dominant race and gender to pick up a copy just to see a different perspective of how, you know, situations may have or interactions with one person may have been deemed differently, and how their approaches could differ, and how to really interact with some minority millennials in the workforce.
Okay, we lost Danielle. Her call dropped.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if she hung up or
well,
it just dropped.
Well, you're welcome to call back, Danielle.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, call back.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, this whole concept of this book, I think, is excellent because it shows others what's possible. I think that that's the inspiration part of it right there.
For sure, and that's the intent, and I link it. So we talked about Mrs. Eugenie's book a good bit, and this what's possible, something in the water. Like I didn't come from the best neighborhood in Orangeburg, and there's certain things that we're not supposed to accomplish and do and coming from that environment. So it definitely speaks to what's possible, and also speaks to the need for diversity, and I would say diversity, equity, and inclusion, and not just limiting to the cliches of what organizations are saying they're doing, but actually taking action and doing things to engage those groups of employees. It's a diversity of not just physical attributes, but also of thought. So it's like your frogs, right, Garrett? You know, you got the one with the scar. So you bring something different to the group. You know, everybody brings something different as they join groups or organizations. So definitely more of what we need to do here.
Well, you've done a thorough job looking at how things are and kind of how they got to where they are. Do you get into some advocacy talking about how things should be, or do you offer advice to people? What other kind of stuff are in the book?
Yes. In the culminating chapters of the book, it definitely addresses how to navigate in a multi-generational workforce. It also talks about some of your DE&I kind of approaches and how you interact with those groups. Also,
you want
the motivation.
You want to explain what DE&I is for the listeners?
That is diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yeah.
So sorry for the acronym.
Yeah. That's all right.
But yes, a lot of companies have made it an initiative, and they set maybe some quotas of hiring practices and what they want to target by a certain year. And while that's awesome to set goals and targets and recognize the need for those diverse candidates, but we also want to make sure it's the right candidates as well. So I'm not making this a platform to say, hey, just because you're female, you need to be hired immediately. No. It's just to open up the perceptions and the thoughts of, you know, what different people bring to the table when they're applying for these roles. So that's kind of what the ending chapters have. And also, I'm huge on quotes. Again, that's that intrinsic motivation within me. So it's
nice,
the end of the
nice
book,
collection of quotes right in the book. Yes.
Yep. So there's definitely some factors. That people can reference and kind of build upon just as reference points of things that have helped me along.
Well, there's definitely a lot of interest in the topic and a lot of people who are interested in learning to navigate their own way through the world too. I mean, a lot of the processes that you were looking at, you know, especially when you get into, you know, racism and things like that, that kind of stuff was way more obvious 20, 30 years ago. It's still there for the most part. It's just a lot more subtle. Sometimes it's more ingrained into the system. It's the way things work. And it's, you know, a wink and a nod more than being openly blatant and stuff. So the better people get at understanding all the processes and the nuances and the dynamics of their workplace environment, the better, the more successful they'll be. So I'm very impressed with this book. I think this is an excellent guide and a good starting point for a lot of people who are looking to chart their own path forward.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I will say, and to your point of how the emphasis of 20, 30 years ago and the dynamics have changed, and I think social media, I don't know that they've changed. They're just being more, they're more obvious, or they're more in front of us just because of technology, social media influences. It puts it out there in front of us. It gives us more avenues to communicate and show those things. And, you know, we need that change.
Hmm.
Okay, over on Twitter, we do have a comment from and a question from Verwayne Greenhall. He says, I go back to watch the complete Breaking Bad series and Mindhunter series every 3 or 4 months. That's quite often, Verwayne.
Wow.
I do it
once
every couple of years. I'll go back and watch the whole Breaking Bad series. He says, interesting shows. His question is, Janelle, where is your writing taking you next?
Boy, he jumped on my next question, too. I'm curious because there's all this potential in such a young, dynamic woman. I think there's great things coming.
Actually, I'm looking for this. As I talked to a couple of friends and family along the way and heard their story, so potentially there's another one coming, and where I get not just my perspective, but I capture those of others. And outline those, hoping it gets to some leadership events, some speaking events, and putting it out there at the forefront. I don't want it to just limit it in the words, words of the book. If I can get out there and put voice behind the words and actively engage with some organizations and some groups, definitely open into it. So I'm hoping this opens some platforms for me
to
be able to do so.
Now, a lot of times we ask, you know, how did you get your cover together and, you know, do you use proofreaders, editors, things like that? In your case, you obviously worked with Fresh Ink Group. You want to give a shout out to your photographer who provided that great cover photo?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Jared Polite, again, South Carolina contributor, used that photo shoot. It was actually for graduation purposes, and it evolved into being able to serve a purpose here for the book. So shout out to Jared Polite, but yeah, even more Fresh Ink Group that helped take the vision and where we wanted to go, and we collaborated well together, I think, on this this project. So thanks to Stephen and Lauren for helping put this together.
Oh, well, thank you. And mention to Mr. Polite that his images made it into the commercial as well, so he's got some images and
a
video. Yeah.
Will do, will do.
So, Janelle, do you have any advice for other authors out there, or not just necessarily authors, but other young, dynamic people who are charting their path forward in a complicated world?
I would pass on the advice that was given to me. Just do it. Even if your book, and I would say from a book aspect, if it touches at least one person takes your story, and a huge credit to my hairstylist, Medisa, for this. She said, if your story touches at least one person or one person gains from it, you've done something.
Yep.
So definitely just go for what you know, what your goals are. Don't worry about those who are interested or not. But preferably you want them interested. but definitely go for it. Kind of determine your audience and your path and stick to it. You know, there's a lot of deterrence out there and obstacles that get in the way and they're set to make you fail. But push forward, push through them.
Definitely
make
good
some
advice.
Noise.
Yeah, make some noise.
Yeah, definitely. Now, how can you're going to have people that are going to read this book and they may want to make contact with you. They got questions, whatever. How can they reach you? Social media, Twitter, you got a blog, website, Facebook, Instagram?
I need to grow a little bit more on some of those avenues, but I do have a LinkedIn. So if you want to find me on LinkedIn, Janelle Jordan in the search, Instagram, it is soambitious_83. And then on Facebook, again, Janelle Jordan, come search me out. But more importantly, please, please go view the YouTube video, hit the like button, and also let's get those pre-sale copies in circulation. Let's get them going.
Get them going, yeah.
Yeah, because those pre-sales, I mean, that helps bump up the you know, Amazon has these little charts, basically, for various categories. And you those pre-sales help bump these books up. And next thing you know, you're able to call it a bestseller because you bumped it up just high enough. So,
well, we do keep mentioning Amazon, but everybody keep in mind the book is everywhere, worldwide,
everywhere,
Barnes and
everywhere.
Noble,
definitely.
Google Play, iTunes, Kobo, you name
Kobo.
It. Go out there, look for it, and you can order your copy. So if you're not an Amazon type, go get it from somewhere else. We just tend to push Amazon because it's the big gorilla, and most of the sales come through there.
Yeah, and you can even go into your local bookstore and have them order it for you as well.
Exactly.
I've done that with several of the Fresh Ink Group books back in the day. Now I get them through the company. But.
And listeners, if you're trying to track down any of our authors like Janelle A. Jordan, if nothing else, we have a contact form at freshinkgroup.com. Just send us a note. We'll make sure we get you connected.
Yeah.
Janelle, it's been a thrill having you on here. I've really been looking forward to this show, and we've had a lot of fun working on the book, working on the video this week especially. That was very cool. And we're glad to see it all coming together. We're proud of you. So thanks again.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you all. I appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yep. So, listeners, next week we got author Paul Hollis, and then after that?
After that we have Caleb Pirtle III coming in and talking to us. After that?
Then we've got Patrick Parker, who I've never met or talked to before, so this will be a new one for me. And he's an author, by the way.
Yeah. Now, I see we do have another caller. You want to take a last minute caller?
Yeah, we can do that. Why don't you finish your list there, who else we got coming,
okay.
And then we'll take another
call. We are in the process of scheduling Patricia A. Guthrie for another visit because she's got a new book coming out. We actually have two new callers going in.
Cool.
And then after, we're also in the process of putting together an episode for Naval Lieutenant Commander retired Jerry Pate, and Robert G. Wollstonecraft will be on with him. They know each other, so they're going to be on together. So we'll let you know when those are scheduled, so tune in for those.
Let's take a call.
Okay, so we're going to take the first caller in here. Let's see, this is caller, the first three digits of your number, not the area code, is 707 because you both have the same area code. So 707, welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, caller.
Hello.
Okay.
That's you.
Gary, this is Abigail.
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 Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Beam Weeks, Stephen Gies, and our guest, Janelle A. Jordan.
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
How you doing?
We are so proud of Janelle for writing this book. And my question is, when did you have that aha moment? When did you find that you had to write this book or had that gut feeling that this is what you wanted to do?
I would say for years I was documenting, taking notes of things, and that was one of the lessons from a mentor I learned early on, to document and take notes. And my aha was when I finally got fed up of some of the inequities that are experienced in the workforce. It was that moment when I needed to step away, evaluate myself. I needed a growth period for myself and to try to channel these things. And that was my aha moment that, hey, in 2022, these things are still happening, and it's time to do something and take action. This isn't something that I'm experiencing by myself, but this was the time to say enough.
Mm-hmm.
So the title can be misleading of still not enough, but I definitely recognize I am enough. I am absolutely enough.
Hmm.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And wish you the best, and looking forward to maybe more projects that you have in the future.
Yeah,
thank
definitely.
You so much. I appreciate the support and guidance.
Okay,
thanks for
thank
calling
you.
In, Abigail.
Yeah, thank you, Abigail.
Thank you.
Always good to hear from you.
Yeah.
Always.
Okay, so we will
another
go to
call?
The next caller. Yes. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. You are on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi, my name is Linda, and I'm calling from Greenville, South Carolina.
Ooh.
Welcome to the show, Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I have a question. When was the first time you heard the phrase unconscious bias?
I would say it was actually in my studies, and I would say that would be my graduate program. Company started probably promoting it within the last year or so. I'd say probably last couple of years, maybe 2 to 3 years. But it was actually in my graduate studies. There was a book, and I'm gonna probably get this title wrong, but I gave out a couple copies to some people that used to report under me. It's called You Don't Know What You Don't Know, and it really talks about unconscious bias. Like, for instance, it talks about Facebook friends, and are they really your Facebook friends, and how you approach your view to a movie that you see, and all of this is based on your upbringings, and it's things that don't necessarily click because it's a part of who you are and what has been ingrained into you. And that book really kind of pointed out some things that was a little bit different for me, and not recognizing those up front, but that book blatantly stated those things of, you know, the propaganda, for instance, that you see in commercials. Not that you necessarily wanted a Pepsi, but the fact that it, you know, they have the water dripping down the can, and all of a sudden now you're thirsty. So it's just kind of your approach to things, and just kind of those unconscious biases that exist. So it was in my studies, but again, professionally, I got exposure to that as well. So a couple facets for me.
Okay, so are you writing – is one of the reasons why you wrote the book was because of not seeing what you learned actually practiced in the workplace?
Absolutely. I would say – so I started working in 2005, and here we are in 2022. And it's some of the same challenges that are still existing here. And I hear of from older females in the workforce and how they had to overcome some things and some of the nuances they face in industry. And it's just, you know, kind of unbelievable to me that, you know, we say we are a progressive workforce and how far we've come, but yet we still have so far to go. It sounds good, right?
Yeah.
But if it's not actually practiced, it means nothing. It falls on deaf ears.
It becomes a generic phrase.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely a coined term for some organizations. And it's that I hate to say it, but it's almost like a check in the box. You go through this training, you get your employees trained to learn about these things, but it's pretty disappointing when you don't see it practiced.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. And again, congratulations.
Thank
you.
Thanks for calling in, Linda.
Thank you, Linda.
Yeah, thank you, Linda.
All right. Bye.
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 All right. That's,
so our other call dropped?
Yeah, we had another caller that called in and was waiting, and then it dropped. So.
Okay. Well, again, thanks for being on the show, Janelle. We went a little bit over this time. We had some good calls with some great last-minute questions. And
absolutely.
Remember, listeners, subscribe to that newsletter. Things we talk about are in it. Like just now, Janelle just gave you her contact information. It's in today's newsletter. So you can get in there and find her out there on social media. Make sure you share that newsletter with other people as well. So we got a whole bunch of great guests coming. We're looking forward to having them. And thanks again, Janelle. Beam, you want to roll another commercial on the way out?
Sure. Thank you, Janelle, for taking time out on your Wednesday night, spending it with us and our listeners. We appreciate that.
Thanks, Beam. Thanks, Stephen. I appreciate you guys.
All right. Thanks, Janelle.
All right. This is Operation Ivy Bells.
Our number two bestseller this week.
Now, from Fresh Ink Group and best-selling author Robert G. Willis-Croft, Operation Ivy Bells, a Mac McDowell mission. An update of the popular bestseller now launching the Mac McDowell mission series. Saturation Dive Team Officer in Charge, Mac McDowell faces the greatest challenge yet, leading his team into a critical Cold War mission of counter-Soviet espionage and proving what brave men can achieve under real pressure. The kind that will steal your air and crush the life out of you. Operation Ivy Bells is proudly published in hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats by the Fresh Ink Group.
We will see you again next week, everybody. Don't forget to tune in. And when you go over to at Voice of Indy on Twitter, that top pinned tweet, that'll be the link for next week's show. Get over there and share that. Share that all over the place. We'll talk to you all next week.
Later.
You've been a part of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.